The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It is time to answer your questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, and the Fantasy Cops are here. I can't express to you the amount of Fantasy Cops questions that we are getting these days. People have a lot of issues. And let me just say this. Stop vetoing trades. Don't veto trades because you think it's a bad trade. It's got to be so obvious that it's collusion or just completely awful if you're going to veto a trade. I can't. Some of these trades get vetoed, and I'm like, this person actually lost the trade. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's crazy. you got to have better guidelines for your vetoes, people.
No, don't veto a trade unless there is collusion. That's the guideline.
No, it's not quite that simple. Like, there's a trade we're going to talk about. It's Gerald Everett for Alvin Kamara. I could almost get on board with a veto for that trade.
There's collusion.
That's
obviously
not collusion.
There's collusion.
It's just a dumb trade.
Or collusion. Like, if you're paying attention to fantasy football in the year 2022 and you trade Alvin Kamara for Gerald Everett.
It happens. Sometimes it happens. All right. Well, Kamara's coming off 2 bad games. All right. Anyway, I'm Adam. That's Dan. Hey, Jamie.
Hey.
You enjoying the show so far?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We got injury updates for you, all your questions. And I'm in a great mood because I went to the local bagel place to get some lunch today, and they gave me 2 free croissants on the house.
Oh, that's always nice.
You left your house?
I did leave the house. And
I thought you were going to say you're in a great mood because your lip wasn't bleeding yet.
Okay. I have chapped lips. I was doing a live show today, HQ, and my lips started bleeding. I had to go off the air for a few minutes to take care of it. It was embarrassing. I'm humiliated. So thanks, Dan. Thanks for bringing
that might
be
the first bloodshed in FFT history.
That could be. All right, let's do our news and notes. We got a lot of Ravens news here. Mark Andrews' game time decision. Gus Edwards questionable with a hamstring injury. And Lamar Jackson has an illness, but he's going to start. So let's start with the Mark Andrews likely thing here. If Andrews is out and likely is in, Jamie, likely would be where in your rankings?
He would likely be in the top 10.
Yeah, but we're talking Kmet, Dulcich. Who would he be ahead or behind? What's the other guy I was thinking of? Oh, Pitts.
Ahead of Pitts, behind the Freiermuth, Dulcich.
Behind that tier. Okay.
Got a lot of faith. Got a lot of faith in Greg Dulcich this week, don't we?
Hashtag Raiders.
Hashtag
Raiders.
Right.
You know who I didn't talk about on the Friday episode? I totally missed it. It's my bad. Elijah Mitchell. How does Dan? How do you feel about Elijah Mitchell this week against the Cardinals?
You know, they're 8-point favorites. It seems like a good spot based on that. The game script should work in their favor to give him more carries, especially I feel like he'll be that guy down. If they're in a game this season from this point on, the 49ers, where they're up by multiple scores, 14-21, I just have a bad feeling McCaffrey managers are going to be pissed off about those games because I don't see the reason to play him much since they're in playoff contention in those types of game scripts. So this could be that. So I kind of like Mitchell as a flex, but I'm sure we could look back on this on Monday and be like, what are you doing? He had like 3.6 points. He had like 36 yards on 8 carries or something.
How about this Ravens backfield, Jamie, with Gus Edwards? I was almost under the impression that it was a bad, you know, because I knew he had been dealing with an injury, obviously, but is it something new? Is it a setback for Gus, or just he has a hamstring injury that we knew about?
The hamstring injury we knew about, that's what he missed.
Yeah, I know. I thought that it may have been a setback. Did I misinterpret that?
I mean, if you're saying that, that's news to me.
Okay.
So
I haven't seen it yet either.
I think what, you know, the expectation was that he was hoping the Ravens were hoping he would return after the bye week. You know, I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, that they were so cautious with J.K. Dobbins, and it felt like they rushed Gus Edwards back a little bit from right off the pup list to having a huge workload, that maybe they're going to learn the lesson and not necessarily rush him back to the same level. So it's why, you know, I think you've heard multiple comments from our shows this week that we like Drake better than Edwards, but I think Edwards can still be a potential flex play this week.
Okay. I think I misinterpreted the tweet, which is okay because by the time you're listening to this, Twitter probably won't exist. So let's see. Ezekiel Elliott is expected to play. We already talked about that. JD McKissick unlikely to play. Corey Davis is out. Juju Smith-Schuster is out. And David Njoku is questionable.
He says he's playing.
Yeah, he said that last week, kind of. At the beginning of last week.
I'm really interested to see how this Chiefs game unfolds and how the Chiefs offense unfolds without Juju Smith-Schuster in there now. And obviously, Mecole Hardman placed on IR earlier. The expectation is it's Tony time, Kadarius Tony time. But he did just join that team a few weeks ago. I'm not so sure we're going to see him 100% assume the Mecole Hardman role or play like an incredible amount of snaps. I'm almost wondering if this is a really good spot potentially for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, though. That's another player that I feel like I could look back on a Monday and be like, oh, it's MVS. Why do we get excited about him again?
This is a very interesting comment from a Giants guy crapping on Kadarius Toney.
Well, I mean, that's not crapping on him. I think you would say that. Yeah, no, I know. I feel like you might say that about anyone who joined the team like at that recently.
I do think, though, that there's first off, he kind of played the Mecole Hardman role last week against Jacksonville. Right. You know, it looked very similar to what Hardman had been doing. I mean, it's basically a month that he's been with the team at this point. And so can he do enough to be fantasy relevant? I think the answer is yes.
Look at this comment, though. Now, I'm looking at the avatar of the guy making this comment, and he could break me in four pieces. Look at that muscle.
But what if that's not him, though?
It's him. No, you're not benching DeAndre Hopkins for Kadarius Toney. No. That's going a little bit too far. Would you bench Rondale Moore for Kadarius Toney?
If Marquise Brown plays, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Justin Watson, by the way, is the guy who really got a boost in playing time. He had not played more than 26% of the snaps in any game. Played 73% of the snaps against the Jaguars after the Juju injury, of course. He only had one target, so that's why we haven't really talked about him. But if you're in a super deep league and everybody is rostered, you could take a look at Justin Watson. And you can win a little bit of money. We got some prizes here. We got a $1,000 weekly prize in our Pick'em. And all right, so here's what you do. You watch football on Sunday, and you get your CBS Sports app out, or you can go to the website. I'll give you a URL as well. But you play the CBS Sports Football Pick'em. Get into the action this week to show off your knowledge with the chance to win the $1,000 weekly prize and the $100,000 jackpot. You can get started now at cbssports.com/play. Or from the More menu on the CBS Sports app. Once again, that is cbssports.com/play or on the CBS Sports app. No purchase necessary. See rules for details. Why not pick some games, huh? All right, got our Apple Podcast questions. This one comes from Chef Joel Christie. Lineup help in full PPR. Need a wide receiver and a flex from this group. Deontay Foreman, Cortland Sutton, Kadarius Toney, and he said Christian Watson, but let's assume Watson's not part of this discussion. Give me two out of three. Foreman, Sutton, Toney.
Tony's the easy one.
Yep.
Sutton's the easy one, too.
Yeah, I think Sutton showed enough last week that, especially given the matchup that Jamie referenced earlier, you play your players against the Raiders right now, that it makes more sense to play Sutton there instead of Foreman.
Especially if Judy's out.
Yeah.
This is, well, by the way, Tony. That was Joel from a city between Pompano Beach and Deerfield Beach.
Oh, is that Florida? Is that Florida area?
What was that? Is that Coral
between
Springs?
Pompano and Deerfield? There's not much.
Yeah, Coconut Creek?
No, Creek would be north of Deerfield.
Yeah, but Pomp isn't. Where's Pompano?
Pompano is south of Deerfield. Creek is like west of Deerfield.
Pompano Beach and Deerfield Beach. Man, I can't. Small. Yeah, I don't know. What's that? I don't know.
That's like right where Anthony's is.
What's Anthony's? Sounds like a good place. Oh,
the best pizza
the
ever.
Best pizza.
The best pizza ever it is in the state best. Of Florida.
It's a chain. Oh, they have one in New York.
It's a chain?
It's a small
it's a chain.
It's
no,
a small
it's a family-owned chain, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that chain.
It's that.
Look, so good.
Look, obviously, you know, New York pizza, Chicago pizza, everybody's going to have their opinion. It's probably the best pizza place, arguably the best pizza place down here.
Oh, down
it's
there.
As good as, no, there was one in White Plains that I used to go to all the time. Unfortunately, it closed. It's as good as any New York pizza. Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza, the freaking
Where
best.
Can I get it?
There are some locations in New York.
Is it near Fort Lauderdale?
We have one near our office.
There's a bunch near Fort Lauderdale.
Should have got that. We should have got that.
The meatball ricotta pizza. Unbelievable. And the chicken wings. They have the best wings.
The chicken wings are great.
This is from H.
Salad's great too.
H. Dink. Oh, salads. I give up Alan Lazard and Jamal Williams for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Grade the trade.
Love it.
Lazard and Jamal Williams?
Yeah.
No. It's Lazard and Williams for Amon-Ra.
A plus.
Yep. I'm giving it an A.
From Tyler. Full PPR 12-team league. I'm tied with four other 6-4 teams for second place. I traded CeeDee Lamb for Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith.
That's interesting. So he's 4-4. So at right, is that what? Oh, sorry, 6-4. Sorry, 4-4 is not possible. Mm-hmm. But there's four other teams for second. You assume it's 12 teams, so six get in. I think I'm okay with this trade if you're in that position with 16 playoff. I think you have enough time to wait for Ja'Marr Chase. And hopefully from this point on, Devontae Smith doesn't score too many fewer points. And there's a possibility, right, that Smith, we're assuming A.J. Brown is the benefactor of the Goddard injury. I don't think any of us here think it's going to be a tight end on that roster. But it could be Devontae Smith. It's unknown at this point.
I think the thing you hope for is, does Smith stay within striking distance of Lamb this week? And then the report is Chase is back next week. So,
yeah.
Oh, Jamie, is it Boca, by the way, in between Pompano and Deerfield Beach?
No, Boca's north of Deerfield.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's so
didn't our, you our grow up in Florida.
Our producer,
Adam?
Zach Brooks, submitted that guess. And he
didn't
was,
you grow up in Florida, Adam?
Yeah. And that's why I said Coconut Creek. I think it's Coconut Creek.
I mean, it's hard because Creek is west of those.
Yeah, it's
cities.
West. Yeah. There's that Lighthouse Point.
Could be.
Okay.
And here we are talking Florida geography on the Friday mail.
All right. This is a trade from
We
Core.
Go back to what we did on Friday where Dave and Adam talked about their crappy fantasy team.
Oh, that was for like 30 seconds.
Everyone wants to hear
that
about
that. That was
30
seconds. 12-team PPR league. I'm offering Juju and Pollard for Lamb and Mitchell. Which side would you rather have, Juju and Pollard for Lamb and Mitchell?
I would take the Lamb side.
You got to take the Lamb side, of course.
Yes and no.
Well,
I mean,
there's the Zeke thing.
The only thing I think that sways it is you have the lottery ticket appeal of Mitchell.
Right.
So, you know, Juju, who knows when he's back? That's the, you know, big part of it.
Clearly. Yeah, the lottery ticket appeal of Pollard.
Well, Pollard, I think, is ascended from the lottery ticket to he's basically a borderline must-start guy at this point. So, you know, you're hoping, like, if Mitchell becomes the guy in San Francisco again, then you win that trade by a mile.
Yeah, but if Pollard, it's much more likely that Pollard wins. It becomes that guy in Dallas.
I'm not looking at Pollard as becoming what he has been because I know what I'm getting with him already. You know what I'm saying? Like I know Pollard is startable with Zeke at this point. Huge upside without Zeke.
This is a trade where it's you have the second and third best players. You're giving them up for the first and fourth best players.
Correct.
So it's fair.
Yep.
All right, from Johnny T. Half PPR Superflex 8-team league. I currently have Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, Fournette, and Gibson. Okay. And A.J. Brown, Waddle, Chase, St. Brown, Lazard, D.J. Moore, and Olave. Okay, so he's obviously better at wide receiver. Who should I trade to go for the win in my league? It's an 8-team league. He's deep at receiver. It could use another running back. He's got A.J. Brown, Waddle, Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Lazard, D.J. Moore, and Olave.
In that type of scenario, I think, you know, because everybody's got a stacked roster, you probably have to do some sort of 2-for-1 or, you know, to get a superstar player. I guess, you know, the thing I'd be looking at is, does he have a stud tight end, you know, or a startable tight end? There's really only one stud. a startable tight end, and what's his quarterback situation? Because like those positions could sway what your league looks like with the way how those positions have struggled this year.
Yeah, and he has enough depth to really, if he wants to, package two of these players and try to get, like, see if you can get Kelsey in the mix.
Okay, this is from Grant Witcher. The subject is Adam and Dan spinoff pod. This podcast is worth a subscribe for the banter between Adam and Dan on the Saturday mailbag alone. No lie, I would listen to a spinoff pod of them just roasting each other for bad takes. I included this because he then says, I for sure lean towards Adam's takes.
What?
On everything except movies. Which is weird because Dan doesn't even watch movies.
I don't even have movie takes.
I do need to grade the trade though. This is a keeper league. I need to know if I got fleeced or not. It's a lost season for me. So trying to improve for next year, I gave up Joe Mixon, Juju Smith-Schuster, and a fifth-round pick for Cordarrelle Patterson, Curtis Samuel, and a first-round pick. None of the traded players can be kept.
All right, let me read.
So, yeah, he gave up
Mixon. Basically getting a first-round pick.
Yeah. He gave up Mixon, Juju, and a fifth for Patterson, Samuel, and a first. And he says Samuel. I'm guessing that's Curtis, if this trade is so bad, but...
If it's Debo, then that's a little bit different.
Yeah, it changes the whole trade. I don't think he got fleeced here. I think he's just, it's just, like you said, he's trading for the first. He's playing for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing would be is like you'd like to maybe get some sort of keeper in return.
Yeah.
You know, so like something. I always approach these situations like whenever you're trying to, you know, build for next year, like try and get. As you know, clearly each league is different, but like try and get a Jameson Williams, try to get a Treylon Burks, try to get, you know, even though they may not be superstars, they give you options. Because imagine we get to next August and Jameson Williams looks like a star, and
right.
The Lions have changed their quarterback situation, or Treylon Burks, you know, is finally comfortable as this season comes to a close, or look at what Christian Watson has become. You know, I mean, imagine if you had. Just sucked to start your season and you traded for Christian Watson a few weeks ago. And now you have that. You know what I mean? Like those are the type of things that help you go into the next season. So always try and get something, some young player that has a chance to maybe ascend their situation. But yeah, I think getting a first round pick is never a bad thing.
Agreed. Right. And I'll say one day, and it might be Thomas, it might be Zach, I'm not sure who yet. I'll rely on them at some point. But one day we will need to audit Adam's process for, you know, reading comments and the YouTube page, reading emails. Anytime anyone says something bad about Adam or good about another person, it never seems to get read. But
are you kidding me? When that guy wrote the Adam bleep you email, I sent that to everyone I knew.
Behind the scenes, but I'm talking about on the
show. I told everybody about it on the
air. All we hear is, Adam has the best takes. Adam has the best hair.
But even the Adam bleep you email wasn't like, this guy doesn't really like me. It's like, look how much this guy hates me.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I do have the best hair. No, Jamie does. But in this two-man race, I said, Jamie, I don't know if you agree with this take. Dan has very high floor, low ceiling hair. Basically has the same hair every time, every day of the week.
Consistency.
Yeah, very consistent hair, but you can't really do much with it. It's not, he can't
what
have these boom
weeks.
What
are we doing with your hair, Adam?
Look at this. This is good hair. I got a haircut
yesterday.
You have like
the Corey from Boy Meets World hair.
That is a great call.
You have better hair.
You really?
Dan is like has Curtis Samuel hair, and I have Gabe Davis hair.
You do not have Gabe Davis hair. Give me
what
a
an
break.
Insult to Gabe Davis. Dan has better hair. Than
oh, get the hell out of here! You would never give me credit. All right, this is from.
Let's move on.
From a name I can't.
What do you think Frisco would say about you, both your hair?
Oh,
Well, Frisco is just happy to see any hair.
Dear Lion-O, Panthro.
I won't say the name, but Frisco once made one of our. HQ talents cry because
so mean.
He told him that he's going.
He said, Pete is bald. He said, you're coming to my club soon. Get ready.
Pete wants to crap on everyone's hair parade.
Yeah, I understand. If I was bald, I get that as a bald man. It's like the Larry David thing. It's like you can, or the George, the Costanza. You're hoping, you don't want, if you're bald, you don't want to see other people with great heads of hair.
No, it's true. All right. So the question. Dear Lion-O, Panthro, Tigra, and Snarf. Those are the Thundercats. Come on.
Thundercats. That is way before my time.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't before Jamie's. Non-PPR.
Yes, it was. Oh, don't look at that little slight joke on Jamie's age right there. Jamie's younger than
you. No, I was my. It was. I was a Thundercats guy.
Okay.
I thought Jamie would know.
Like, I'm younger than him, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
Look younger.
All right, non-PPR, two flex. I'm 9-1. I have Josh Allen and Justin Fields, and I just lost Ertz.
Okay.
Traded Fields, Higgins, and Pollard.
Whoa.
For Kelsey and Etienne.
Oh, hell yeah. That's an awesome trade.
It's a one quarterback league?
Yeah.
It's a great trade.
This is an amazing trade. How did you get ET? I think that would have been an interesting move. Even if you just got Kelsey alone, I would have been like, maybe on paper, it looks like you're giving a lot, but that's an interesting try to upgrade there, especially with your quarterback situation set without Fields. But to also get ETN back is crazy. It's an amazing trade.
Okay, from M. Hershey.
And listen, good on the other side, too.
Oh, this is from Matt. Matt from the biggest.
To get, if you don't have a quarterback, Fields is top five upside.
I feel like me and you are at a different point with Pollard, Jamie. I know what you're trying. I think he can be a weekly flex, but with Zeke sucking up some of the touches, that at least if it goes according to how it went before the
injury. He's not ETN, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But Higgins is no slouch. I mean, you're getting three starters there.
True.
You agree with this?
Compare the Higgins ETN side.
Don Draper says, I'd like to report a murder on Adam's hair.
I think he's talking about my Corey from Boy Meets World.
I hope so, but I don't think the haircut was that bad.
How would you?
Oh, he means from that standpoint.
Yeah.
How would you?
I love how you just got a haircut, and it's like all like, how is that not? How is that?
It actually was not a very good haircut. I had to recut it.
You said that the last time.
I had to recut it.
So here, so Dan, just to let you know, when Adam moved to New York for love, he won in the love department. He lost in the weather department. He certainly lost in the haircut department because he had a wonderful, wonderful barber.
Yeah, Jamie's hairstylist, Kelly.
His hair never looked better than when I sent him to Kelly.
Wow. She was great. She's terrific. All right,
how would you rank the hair of the five of us that are typically on show?
Oh, you're number one. Dave is number two. Dave's not number two. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're number one, then me, then Heath, then Dan, then Dave. And then Chris. And Frank would probably be number two, but Jamie's definitely number one. All right.
No, Frank refuses to take his hat off.
All right, come on. I got to read this damn question already. Matt.
No more hair.
Matt's, the season's going to end. Grade the trade. I receive Jacobs and Debo Samuel.
Okay.
I give up Alvin Kamara and Kyle Pitts.
Jacobs and Samuel, Kamara and Pitts. I think I like the Jacob Samuel side a little bit better, but Samuel and Pitts to me are in a similar bucket right now.
Debo,
but
I just feel Debo.
Yeah,
Samuel.
Debo. I feel a little more confident about Debo, but not too much more.
I think you're losing the best player. That's the problem.
Kamara?
Yeah.
This is from Kamara,
that's actually a good point.
I'm going to give it a C.
It's not egregious, so I'd say it's fair. C is a good grade.
Average C.
From Fantasy Player 2, trade away Foreman in full PPR, Deontay Foreman, get Kittle. He's upgrading from Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I'm fine with that move. Try to go for it with Kittle. I just feel like with Kittle, here's what's going to happen. You're going to put him in your lineup the rest of season now that you traded for him. He's going to have maybe one, two, hopefully three blow-up weeks. He'll have some frustrating ones like last week. But what are you missing, right? Whoever you're starting at tight end now is not having the blow-up weeks, and he's having the frustration weeks. Maybe a little bit more consistency, probably not much. So I'm good with that. You just roll with Kittle rest of season and hope the blow-up weeks happen in the playoffs.
This is Kittle's rest of season schedule.
Okay, let's hear it.
Monster week this week against the Cardinals. Saints next week, so usage and matchup not great. Dolphins week 13, I think that's good. Bucks week 14, eh. Week 15, great, Seattle. Week 16, shaky, Washington. 17, Raiders, great. So more favorable than not rest of
good
week.
Good fantasy playoffs matchup, too.
You would like to see the Cardinals one more time before the season ends, but he gets them week 18.
All right, next question is from this one's. Yeah, I don't think I can read this one. I'm sorry. All right, we got to take a break. Sorry about that. we got a little.
I love that you do that. There's just somebody sitting around listening, going, I finally sent out.
All right, fine. From Amish Dorm Keen. I probably shouldn't have said. I feel like I just said something that I shouldn't have said. 10-team Superflex League. I traded around week 4, I traded Jalen Hurts to a desperate team for Eckler and Debo. That left me with Matt Ryan and Jared Goff. Then I traded Debo for Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then I picked up Justin Fields. My running backs are now Eckler, McCaffrey, and Etienne. My receivers are Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Pittman, Sutton, Ayuk. Pitts is my tight end, and I am Fields and Goff at quarterback. How did I do?
You did amazing. Yeah, this is a really good example of building a team, an all-star team that you didn't draft. Like, you traded, you did an excellent job trading for these guys. Obviously, it was contingent on picking up Fields, like now a QB1 rest of season.
Right, that's the thing. You picked up Fields. If you didn't pick up Fields, then I'm not sure we'd be praising you.
I think the thing that I'm curious to see, because we get the end of season report about league winners, you know, who helped fantasy managers win the most. I think you see a lot of either Mahomes and Allen by the time things are said and done because of how they will end up performing, and a lot of Fields and Geno Smith.
Right.
Probably Tua too, because I think Tua was dropped during the concussion saga and picked up probably by different fantasy managers. So I'll put Tua on that list too. So Tua, Fields, and Geno Smith, because those guys were free in a lot of leagues.
Who is the next guy that, you know, booms up that list?
At quarterback?
No, at any position. Is it Christian Watson? Oh,
well, I mean, you could see Rashad White being that guy.
Yes.
Well, not injury. Who's the guy from this point on?
But injury is usually the reason. Injury leads to opportunity. Like, Ken Walker is going to be on that list, I think, end of season. But that was somebody who...
Okay, fine. Injury, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Who's the waiver wire pickup or, you know...
That's coming?
Yeah, or that... You know, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say Treylon Burks because he's available and just had a big game, you know, so maybe that's the guy.
Well, you could say Christian Watson.
It would be Watson.
What are you trying to get? Who's available or...
No,
who
I mean the guy that was, you know, just coming on strong
Paris
right
Campbell,
now.
Christian Watson, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Paris Campbell is going to be that guy.
Watson and Burks are the two. I talked about Burks on yesterday's FFT and 5. Luckily, before the game, we recorded it. I said a big breakout was coming. But as far as not naming guys that were picked up this week, it would, for me, it would be Jameson Williams. From the last report I read, Campbell's hoping to get him back right after around that Thanksgiving game. So, but that's optimistic coach speak. But either way, if you could, they can get him rolling end of season, he could be a league winner.
And if that happens, Jared Goff.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
There's no way Jared Goff is going to be a league winner. No way.
Well, I mean, look what you said on two different shows on Friday on HQ and the podcast about Aaron Rodgers. Can Jared Goff with Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Josh Reynolds get to 20 fantasy points consistently?
Yeah, but I don't think I was putting Aaron Rodgers in the league winner, you know, Fields.
But again, if you can get a consistent starter at the quarterback position at this point, if you can't get a superstar.
Yeah, that's fine. I think I'm got my fingers crossed that Chris Godwin could be in this mix. They could just have this massive second half. You know, targets are there.
Possible.
You know, could be.
But now you're going on a different equation, though.
Not really. I mean, I'm just taking a break. Okay, when we come back, the fantasy cops are arresting Jamie and settling your league disputes. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Is that too loud?
Not at all. Okay. Not loud enough.
The fantasy cops are here. I had so many today.
God,
so
you scream so loud, my ears bleed, or maybe that's my lip. Okay.
I almost just cursed. I almost just four-letter word followed by you.
Bleeding from random orifices on his body during the shows.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't talking about just waiver wire players. I got backed into that corner. Of talking about just, I just meant who's going to have a huge second half and be a league winner.
Well, that's different then.
Agreed.
I mean, maybe.
Poorly phrased question.
It was a spur of the moment question. All right. Johan has a question for the Fantasy Cops.
All right, Johan.
7-3, two trades, Pitts for Kittle and Swift, and Everett for Kamara. Now, this actually is worded so weirdly that it actually may have been Swift and Everett for Kamara and just Pitts straight up for Kittle. That's probably what it was, right?
Swift and Everett for Kamara. Still not bad, but not vetoable.
And Pitts for Kittle.
Oh, it is that. Yeah, no, that's what it is. It's Pitts for you can't veto either of these.
Yeah, both were vetoed by the commissioner. Oh, I left the league. Am horrible. I in the wrong?
No, you're in the right, Johan. And this is BS. And I hate commissions who do this. I hate leagues that
that's
do
what
this.
What I'm saying.
This is why I'm on a no veto path.
Yeah,
Adam,
but then that's
for
just
things like this. You can't
tell us about your league again, Dan. What happened?
We have 20 minutes. I just think there are some trades that could be so bad, and there can be trades involving teams that are, you know, 1-9 that aren't collusion but should be vetoed. But all right, let's see what else we got. Okay, so my bad. Fantasy Cops for Ashton. There was an accepted trade that occurred on Thursday before the Thursday night football game started. One of the players in the trade, but this is last week, by the way. One of the players in the trade, DJ Moore, was playing on Thursday, and the member who had DJ Moore started him in his lineup after the trade was accepted. Now, our league goes by veto trade rules, and every member gets 48 hours to vote on a trade before it's processed. So basically, somebody traded DJ Moore, but then started him because the trade hadn't been processed yet. Because there was a player in the trade that was in the starting lineup, after the trade was approved on Saturday, it did not go through. This meant that I had to watch the other team member play the players that he was trading away in the lineup that week, get a W with their points in the lineup, and then still have the trade get approved on the following Tuesday. I asked before Sunday games to cancel the trade because I did not want the trade to go through if it would not go through before Sunday's games. The commissioner basically told me to kick rocks and that I should have been watching the other team member's lineup to make sure he didn't play any players that he was trading away, blah, 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 blah. I told the league that I didn't think it was fair. Are you guys following it, or should I summarize?
Yeah.
No, I'm following.
All right. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this? Please help so that I can understand and be knowledgeable in the event this would ever happen again.
Has anybody actually, like, gone and kicked rocks?
I've never done that.
I mean, I'll kick rocks when I'm walking around, but, like, I wouldn't, like, if somebody go kick rocks, I wouldn't go kick rocks.
No, I wouldn't.
So this policy's stupid.
Yes.
First off. If you make a trade, and this is the policy, you can't tell the person who is holding the players, you can't use those players. Like, that's his or her discretion to still use those players. They can't, I'm just going to bench them.
Right. This guy, Ashton's problem was that he wasn't getting DJ Moore for that week, and he wasn't, and because it got vetoed for that week, for week 10, he wasn't even allowed to use the players that he was trading for on Sunday. And they said, okay, the trade's not going through until next week, and then you can have those players. So he said, why am I doing a trade when I can't have any of the benefits for week 10, and you're telling me that I can't just cancel it? Instead, it's going through in week 11. That's like the worst possible solution.
That's pretty stupid. Like, it should have been the trade goes through regardless of when the player plays.
Yes. Also, the commish has power to edit the lineups, and retroactively speaking, he can do it as well. If a trade is agreed on before the start of the games, I think that trade should be, especially if you're in a league without vetoes, which it should be every league basically, unless there's collusion, then they should just push that trade through, and the commish should retroactively edit the trade to have it right, how these people agreed to before the game. They agreed before the Thursday game, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh. And the worst thing to do is to say, no, it's vetoed now on Saturday until Tuesday,
right,
after the game. I mean, this is the worst solution.
That's terrible. Yeah.
So your commissioner really screwed you. And
Ashton should have been allowed to have the player.
Yeah.
Why are there so many bad commissioners?
Terrible.
Come on, step your game up.
Terrible commissioners. Like, I have this one commissioner who set the trade deadline for week 9 in two leagues.
Are you obviously blaming? This is a shot at Jamie?
Yes, Jamie. Yeah.
Which leagues?
Maybe just one league, actually. 2 QB league or super flex league.
I don't even look at when those deadlines are when we start the season. You should have told me.
I guess it's all right. Look, I had enough time to make trades. Okay, this is from Scott. Oh. From Scott Sterk. Afternoon, fantasy football. I couldn't think of better people to bring this situation to. Hopefully this is good enough for the fantasy cops. Last night, our league commissioner and I got into some fine details about our league. We are a 12-team private league, a core group of friends with a couple friends of friends. Unfortunately, this year we had to ban a manager mid-season. This comes to my point of awarding prizes. We have four prizes. First overall, second overall, first in the regular season, and the highest single game overall score. The banned manager is the current individual high single game scorer. If it holds to the end of the full season, the prize will need to be reallocated. He also has a chance to make the playoffs. His roster is like minimally maintained to stay relevant, but there's a chance he could win the league or finish second. So we have two different opinions on the prizes. If the band manager, the commissioner suggests this. If the band manager's team wins second, first place gets all of the prize. If the band manager team wins first, second place gets all the prize. Okay, so that obviously means if the band manager's in the finals, the other team is getting the prize no matter what.
Right.
For the highest single game overall prize, that is undecided. Now I, the guy writing this email, Scott, think that any prizes won by the band manager's team should be rolled into the following season. Mm. As a sidebar, the second individual highest single game score is the opposing manager in the same game as the band manager. Does that say, whatever. So what do you guys think should happen with the prizes?
I like how they are doing it right now. I don't think you should go roll it over because then you're making the season pointless for the league just because you had to ban one manager. You're kind of letting them, the ban manager, win for whatever. We don't know the behavior of this ban manager. We're just assuming that that ban manager was in the wrong. But why are we rewarding? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You're making the season moot if you don't give out prizes.
No, just the prizes that would go to him.
Yeah, but that could be the first prize.
It could be. It's unlikely. What's so funny?
So I was dealing with a family issue via text, so I didn't hear the beginning part of your question. You kept saying band manager. I'm trying to figure out like
like a band, the manager of a band. Yeah. I did say band manager way too many times.
You did.
Way too many times.
BM. I was just not answer, but then when you finally said that he was banned, I was like, oh, okay, man.
Yeah.
I think that the band manager.
Should somebody die? Like, was there a band manager who died? Yeah.
Should not get any prizes, obviously. No, I would just give it. Okay.
What's the name of the band?
I would give the single highest game score. Yes, I would give it to the person who has the second highest score.
Why don't they just put it in the pod and have a party for the next draft?
You could do that.
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah, put it in the pot. Oh, I see. And make the next draft better. And yeah. I like that idea too. That's fun.
I hate the idea of giving it to the first place team. I hate the idea of if the band, the guy who got kicked out is in the championship round, then the other opponent gets all of the money. I think that's silly. So I wouldn't do that.
I'm really more interested in finding out why this person was banned.
Me too. All right, let's last one here. From a first-time writer, but a tenured listener. Thank you. This trade was
writer or writer.
This trade was proposed and accepted in my 10-team PPR league. It is between the 10th place team and the 8th place team. They're both on the cusp of making the playoffs. One team, 10th place team, gets Kittle, Lamb. See, like, look at this trade. This trade is so lopsided.
Okay.
Kittle, Lamb, Chase, and the Bills DST. The 8th place team gets Ertz, Gibson, Sutton, and the Saints.
Yeesh.
It's obvious that the last place team is throwing... The last place team is throwing the season and some sort of collusion has happened. I think I said that the last place team...
I said
gets instead of gives. So, sorry. The last place team is getting Ertz, Gibson, Sutton, and the Saints. And giving up Kittle, Lamb, Chase, and the Bills.
Yeah.
Commissioner's on the fence to veto the trade, but I am all for the veto.
This feels like I'm going to help my buddy try and make a run.
It is that, and we know that.
We don't know that.
Okay, we're not
detectives
stupid. We don't think
here. We're detectives. We need a there's a burden of proof.
They traded for somebody who's out for the season. I mean, come on. We know that something fishy is going on here. The problem for me is like a veto doesn't do it for me. Like, yes, you may have to veto in this spot, but I'm more concerned with getting rid of the team that did this. Why would we risk the repeat of this happening next year if this person falls out?
But that's not that. We got to answer the question here, though.
I guess the thing that you don't know is like we play in obviously a lot of leagues that most people know what they're doing. In our competitive, some people play in leagues, office leagues,
right.
Things of that nature. You know, you ask somebody to be in a league and never done it before, and they don't realize that the players that you're getting in return are that crappy because they haven't been paying attention. You know, so
there's
probably a reason that that person was in 10th place despite all those talented players, maybe not setting their lineup the right way, maybe not paying attention. So I don't want to necessarily say it's collusion, but it feels that way. And so before you kick somebody out of the league, Dictator Dan. You might want to at least understand some of the circumstances, but this trade should probably be vetoed because I would think that the 10-team league or 12-team league, whatever the case may be,
10.
The other managers are looking at that and saying, if this person gets in the playoffs, because I'm sure there's other good players in that roster, that just feels like you help stack somebody's team.
Yeah, I think the more I've thought about it, I'm leaning against vetoing it unless you can prove there was some type of collusion or the 10th place team is just giving up. Again,
they're husband and wife, Adam.
For those of you who don't remember, it was Ertz, Gibson, Sutton, and the Saints DST for Kittle, Lamb, Chase, and the Bills DST. I mean, Gibson's been pretty valuable. Judy's hurt, so Sutton's got some more value.
I can.
Kittle hasn't been that good. Chase is injured, and we don't know how good he's going to be.
Unjustifiable.
All right. I would not veto it, but it's a really bad trade. All right. Let's read our emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Anthony. He says, hi, Jalen, Daniel, Taylor, and Dakota.
I think of a Dakota.
NFC East.
What's the
It's got to be Dak.
Real name's Dakota. Yep.
I didn't know that
Daniel
was
Jones.
That's the first one you go with, Daniel Jones. That's the first one, not Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
No. desperate at RB2. Full PPR RB2, Pacheco, Warren, or Gus?
I'm on Pacheco of this group.
I probably would go Warren with the 3-catch potential there. But it wouldn't surprise me if Pacheco's better. So if you want to just for continuity's sake, we can go Pacheco.
Dan, what do you think about my Colts over Eagles upset pick?
What? Yeah. You went from literally, this is what a wild turnaround for you. 4 days ago on Monday's podcast, you literally did a breakdown game by game of schedule. I can't see a potential loss. This team's going undefeated. Now you're predicting they lose two in a row, including one against.
Well, okay. What's changed since then? They put another defensive tackle on IR and Dallas Goedert's on IR. Goedert injured.
They got two defensive tackles though.
Oh, well, yes. They got two old guys who haven't been playing football.
You don't get to excuse yourself based on two injuries. Like this
Dallas
is
Dallas Goedert injury. That's a big deal.
Adam, you couldn't find a loss, and now you're predicting two in a row. Okay, I'll let you make that change, but this is a terrible pick. That was a one win Jeff Saturday's team is going to get. Now they're going to go right back down to earth. We're going to be second.
You know, they beat the Chiefs at home this year.
I know. That was an ugly, disgusting game by Andy Reid that he still has those games in his bag, Reid. And that was a classic, like, Eagles Reid type of coaching game. So, no, that's not going to happen this week. Eagles
okay,
are
going the band manager. What kind of music is it?
It's blues. It's classic blues. All right. This is from Jen.
Would you make a mixtape of it?
I would. Who do you want to stash rest of season? Pacheco, Jalen Warren, or Kyren Williams?
Warren.
It's got to be Pacheco.
Oh, I'm on Warren, I think.
See, I think you just go with the best team there because, I mean.
That's fine. That's fair. But I just don't. Is there a path?
Pacheco doesn't need an injury right now. That's the thing.
Pacheco doesn't need an injury, but I also think that there's at least more of a path for Warren if Najee gets hurt. I don't know that the Chiefs situation could actually unfold where Pacheco gets into that like RB1 role, but maybe.
He might have got it last week.
Yeah, but you still have McKinnon mixing in so much there, even in the red zone.
I don't think any scenario is perfect without an injury, but what if McKinnon got hurt?
Yeah, it's possible, but I still think they'd use. I weirdly still think they'd use Clyde Edwards.
I would agree 100%. Yeah. But it's such a bad Steelers team still.
It is. It's still a horrible Steelers team. So it's hard to get not too excited about either.
I don't understand this poll. This is the second time I've lost this poll. It's a who has better hair poll.
Oh, I mean, you lose because it's quite obvious that this is better than that. This is not like I told you before we started. Before we started this debate, I was like, I don't ask for much, right? You're a better looking guy. You're a better analyst. Stop. You're a better host. It's fine. All that stuff is fine. You're a better shape.
Dan's like he's been working out too.
I finally started working out a little bit, which is good.
Yeah, I know. When I met Dan, I was a little impressed by the physique. He's like, he's got some size.
That was before I was working out.
In terms of the hair, his hair looks like he has a purpose.
Exactly.
You look like you just woke up and decided.
Right. Yeah, and it looks this good without any purpose. It looks this good.
But who doesn't even take a comb to it? Adam doesn't even take a comb to that thing.
Yeah. So Adam sits down every show. Usually, see, you get the benefit, Dan. He's already been on TV, so he's done something to his hair.
No.
So this is the something.
I haven't done anything.
But usually in the mornings, he sits down, he does like this for like 30 seconds.
And, and when I sit down to do the show in the morning, it is basically the first time I've looked at myself. Like, I guess, you know, I wake up and I pee, but then I brush my teeth in the kitchen sink.
That's great.
The strangest human being.
Yeah, I know.
The strangest admission you may have ever made on this show. Can you explain the process of why you brush your teeth in the sink?
I would love to. Because I have slept on my couch for 4 months. Because of that craziness that happened in my son's bedroom. He sleeps in my bed, and I have been out of my room for 4 months. It sucks. So that is why.
That really sucks.
It sucks. I sleep on the couch. I go in the kitchen.
Is it a pull-out couch at least?
No.
You sleep on just every night? You sleep on a – and that – oh, my.
That's terrible.
Your back must be on the brink of collapse.
I hate my management company so much. I want everyone to know. I hate them. I'm going to destroy them one day. All right. Anyway, here's a question from Trevor. Who do I sit? Rondale Moore, Cortland Sutton, Gabe Davis, or Kadarius Toney? Who do I sit?
Definitely not Toney. So Rondale Moore, Gabe Davis, or Sutton. I will sit in that bunch. I'm going to lean towards sitting Rondale Moore here. Personally.
Definitely not Toney. That's interesting.
No, definitely not Toney.
I think I would sit Toney. Maybe that's at Sutton.
Nah, there's too many injuries.
Jamie, what do you think? Who do you sit? Moore, Rondale, Sutton, Gabe Davis, or Toney?
Sorry, I'm doing a poll here. Do you brush your teeth in the kitchen sink?
Of course. I don't want to brush my teeth in the kitchen sink. I hate my life. You don't understand. Like I hate it.
No,
I also don't know why you still can't like go up to your room and just brush your
Because the kids are sleeping. The kids are sleeping in there.
Okay, that was a good. The kids sleep past you?
Oh, they slept till almost 11 today or 10:30 today.
Oh, you have older kids, I guess.
No, they're 2 and 4. They're insane. They go to sleep at 11:30. It's like they're
what?
It's insane. We have a crazy life. All right, who'd you sit, Jamie? Rondale Moore, Cortland Sutton, Gabe Davis, and Kadarius Toney.
Have to sit one.
Yep.
I would probably sit Rondale if Marquise plays.
I could brush my teeth in the bathroom, but
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I could do that.
You could still brush your teeth in the downstairs.
Bathroom, yeah, but I don't know why. Because the toothbrush is in the kitchen, so
you just like that open sink. You know?
I do like it. I do like the open space. Yeah.
11 votes in. Do you brush your teeth in the kitchen sink all the time? 9% yes.
Whoa.
45% no. 46% only Adam Azer does.
All right, this is Joe. I'm the Kelsey manager. I have no backup. Heaven forbid Kelsey gets injured. Would it be better to take a guy like Conklin, Tonyan, or Hooper, or just pick up Noah Gray?
Wait, hold on a second. If you brush your teeth in the kitchen sink, where do you pee?
In the bathroom.
So you do go to a bathroom.
Yeah. But I don't have. But the toothbrush is in the kitchen.
I know, but you could leave it in that bathroom.
No, I wouldn't leave it in the bathroom. I wouldn't leave it in the bathroom.
Right? Yeah, why would you leave a toothbrush in a bathroom,
I don't have a
toothbrush doesn't belong in a bathroom.
I don't have a medicine cabinet in that bathroom, and the kids are in that bathroom all throughout the day. They would knock it over. They would knock it over 5 times a day. There's no question.
You could put it in a cup off to the side.
No, it's a small bath. It's a very small bathroom. There's not enough room. This has been one of our weirdest shows, I'd say. All right, let's keep going.
You're an alien.
Yeah, I'm a weirdest guy. I admit.
You were created in a lab.
I'm a very weird guy.
So am I, Adam. It's okay. It's okay to let your weird flag fly.
You have a bathroom. It has a sink, but you brush your teeth in the kitchen.
Yeah.
How does this man work for CBS and someone? Who is he talking about?
Me, of course. Okay. Someone in the chat said, how does this man work for CBS? It's a great question. Where do I shave? Every now and then I get a chance.
Garden hose.
These are good. Adam eats cold pizza. I don't eat cold pizza.
No. Oh, I eat cold. I'll eat cold pizza.
Love cold pizza.
I'll tell you what. I would eat cold pizza every damn time over microwave pizza. I will never microwave pizza in my life.
Let me tell you something, Dan.
I'm disgusted by people.
Yeah, microwave pizza is bad. Let me tell you. I actually got this tip from a YouTube chat. Someone told me to put my pizza
on a cast iron.
On a pan, medium heat.
Yep.
For a few minutes, it is the
best way to reheat pizza is on a pan, especially if you have a cast iron.
All right, we're gonna do no BS, just fantasy football.
No, we got a celebrity response to your tweet my poll.
Okay.
Jessica Kleinschmidt, who covers baseball, I think in the Bay Area, she says, defending you, I do it sometimes when I'm running around the house in the morning, and it's the closest spot.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay.
Somebody else replied, only on very, very rare occasions. Somebody called you a psycho.
Agreed. Yeah. Good news, though. We're probably about 2 weeks away from the bedroom being back and me being able to sleep in my bed.
So, wow.
Looking forward to that. All right. The Kelsey manager wants to know if he should roster Conklin, Tonyan, or Hooper if Kelsey were to get hurt, or a backup tight end on the Chiefs.
I am actually advising for, and this is a player I picked up in almost all my leagues. It didn't cost much on the FAB yet, and that's Trey McBride. I talked about it, I think, two shows ago. Maybe it was with Chris. I like McBride's profile coming out, and it's weird in a lot of ways. He reminded me of Ertz because what he's best at is finding those soft spots in the zone. He was never an overly athletic player at Colorado State, didn't run a great 40, but he does a great job of using his body to box out. And so that's it basically exactly what Kyler found with Ertz. So he's the tight end, high upside tight end stash I'm going to suggest here over all those other names.
I couldn't agree with you more because you're looking for upside. You could argue Conklin may have similar type of upside because when the Jets have thrown this year, his numbers have been there. The thing that concerns me about McBride is, and this would have concerned me about Ertz, is with Marquise Brown back, is there enough targets to go around for him to still be viable? But I think, again, if you're looking for who can be a difference maker at that position, these are the type of players that could be difference makers because of the scenario. And again, I agree with you on the profile. Wow. Like Dave tried to make the argument after the game, like, he ran all these routes and he didn't get targets. Like, I didn't understand that.
He's the fourth guy in the pecking order. McBride. Agreed. How good could he be?
But that's only for now, right? Like, we don't know if that's going to be the case.
He's going to have more targets than Rondale Moore.
It's the kind of target.
About having more targets than the guys that you mentioned.
Yeah, number one, but also it's the kind of targets he can give them. He can do something that even Moore can't do, in my mind, in that offense. Just look at it. Using his body to box out and find spots in the zone. Like, this is what he...
Look at this comment.
The guy on the top left, and he looks like a rat. He might be talking about me.
No, I'm on the top left.
You're on the top left for us, but for them, is it flipped on YouTube?
No, I mean, when they're looking at it, I'm on the top left. He says the guy on the top left has awful takes, and he looks like a rat.
Because someone once told me I looked like a rat before.
Oh, maybe it is you then. All right, I'm fine with
that. But I don't know if they were referring to, like, my actions.
Whatever it is, that's just rude.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up, man.
There's a lot of messed up comments.
Now, here we go. Now, nothing but fantasy.
No, listen, for the next two minutes.
No, wait.
If you write back and you curse at him, he'll love it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, Christian from Middletown. Who should I start? Dear Ed, Eddie, and the Plank. I don't know. Is that the TV show Ed, and Eddie? Probably, right? Who should I start this week? Pick two and half PPR. Montgomery, Gibson, Garrett Wilson, Rondale Moore, Paris Campbell, or Hollywood Brown? Montgomery, Gibson, Garrett Wilson, Rondale Moore, Paris Campbell, Hollywood Brown.
Needs two?
Yep.
What's the score?
For half PPR.
Montgomery and...
Gibson, Garrett Wilson, Rondale Moore, Paris Campbell, Hollywood Brown.
Montgomery and Gibson.
I can't even find this question right now, so I'm struggling to... You just named them too fast.
Yeah,
Montgomery,
four times.
Gibson.
Garrett Wilson, Rondale Moore, Paris Campbell, Hollywood Brown.
Montgomery. And it's full point PPR?
Who's the banner? Next question from Nicholas. I want to try and turn Justin Fields into a running back. I was thinking about targeting Joe Mixon, as the Mixon manager has Daniel Jones. Any advice on what I should do offering Justin Fields?
See, this is the perfect way to phrase a question. Look at the, in this general statement, look at the team that has crappy quarterbacks. Like, don't just, I want to turn Justin Fields into a running back. You got to attack your league. Attack your league by looking at the roster grid, looking at who needs quarterbacks, then finding their best running back or second best running back. So the Daniel Jones manager, the Tom Brady manager who's been struggling, the Kirk Cousins manager who may not be sold on that but has running back depth. Like, that's the type of thing that you should be looking to make, like, not just a blanket statement. So, yes, if Daniel Jones has Joe Mixon and other running back depth and you could turn Justin Fields into Joe Mixon, perfect.
Yeah, and you could throw in a running back there too, and I still think you're getting the better end of that deal.
What's the lowest running back you would accept for Justin Fields?
It's so dependent though, because like if I need somebody like in a desperate situation, like I'd be looking at Antonio Gibson or something like that with something else.
I would say Fournette and Connor is the range for me.
Oh man, I don't know.
But this is also dependent on who your quarterback. Like, I'm not going to trade Justin Fields unless I already have a Jalen Hurts, a Patrick Mahomes, yeah, and one of the top tier guys.
All right, next question is from Cameron. I trade away Dalvin Cook, Kelsey, and Pittman.
Okay.
I get Jonathan Taylor, Dalton Schultz, and Mike Williams, but Jonathan Taylor would be a keeper. The other ones wouldn't. So he is probably losing the trade, but he's setting himself
up. He's definitely losing the trade, I think. But he's saying, I have good points scored, but I'm still in last. So he probably has a still long shot at best to make it, even with the top points scored or whatever it would be. So he would get the tiebreaker if he still gets that sixth spot or whatever it is, four teams. So I think you're better off doing it the way you did and going for the keeper. You're in that mode right now in last place this deep into the season.
All right, good stuff. This is from Charlie. Hey, Manny, Diego, Sid, Crash, and Eddie.
I don't know.
Crash, Jamie, Bandicoot. You know this one?
Manny, Diego, Sid,
Crash, and Eddie. It is.
Well, they're like Crash, I know.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but then I Googled it. It's a Disney movie or a Pixar or something. Mm. I don't know. It's Ice Age. Never seen it. The question is, how do you rank these guys rest of season? Non-PPR. Gus Edwards, Jeff Wilson, Rashad White, David Montgomery, Elijah Mitchell.
Non-PPR. I am going
Wilson
to...
Wilson is one.
Wilson, yeah, Wilson the definite one.
Over Montgomery?
Yes.
Non-PPR? All right.
I love Wilson rest of season. Montgomery, two. I think with Wilson, are we not... Is it possible, at least at this point, we're seeing the same situation we saw last year with the Bills for a little while, with the Bengals for a little while, and with the Chiefs for a little while, which is defenses are now playing more of a two high shell. Defenses are not only playing two safeties off, but they're playing their corners. I was watching the Dolphins film from last week against the Browns. Corners are playing so far off these receivers right now because they don't want to get burned deep by Hill and Waddle. And what is that going to do? It's going to lead to all these rushing opportunities and light boxes. And so Wilson, to me, I know he's somewhat splitting with Mostert at this point, but he's getting most of the snaps. I think he has a chance to be one of the better running backs, like outside of the top 12, at least, like as we're talking about that RB2 range rest of the season based on this. So he would be the clear one for me as well. And then we go Montgomery. I would put in White based on the upside, Mitchell, and then Edwards.
So if you're talking about league winners,
yeah,
rest of the season, non-waiver wire guys that mm-hmm. could be good, that you might have added already. That could be special.
Okay, I get where you're going, Al. Very good. All right, this is from Matthew. I need to bench one of these guys. Darnell Mooney, Chris Olave, Deebo Samuel, Kadarius Toney. Who do I bench?
Mooney.
I could go either way with Samuel or Mooney.
Debo's going to have 100 yards and two touchdowns.
I'm down on him.
From Vinny. Who would you start of the following three? Gus Edwards, Jerick McKinnon. Which of these three Utes would you start in full PPR?
Utes, I like it. That was one of the only movies I've seen.
Oh, good. It's a great one.
Ever.
Gus Edwards, Jerick McKinnon, or Elijah Mitchell?
Full PPR. So McKinnon.
Which two? Me. I mean, again?
Three. Which of these three? Just one. Gus Edwards, Jerick McKinnon, Elijah Mitchell.
McKinnon for me.
Done with Gus Edwards.
Yeah,
done
same.
With that guy. Give me McKinnon.
All right, YouTube questions
PPR.
Here. Start Jaylen Warren or Tristan Ebner?
Warren.
Oh, Warren. Yep.
Rashad White or Elijah Mitchell rest of season?
It's always going to be White for me.
Yeah.
In this scenario.
Okay. Keep coming with the questions here. Who would you rather rest of season?
Can we show the poll results that you referenced but then didn't show for some reason?
Montgomery or Foreman? I don't know how to show
your hair.
Yeah. He's like, this is horrible. I'm having the worst. The results are, I can't understand them, but we don't get to see him.
58%.
Whenever anyone says a comment about me or
I told you,
Adam,
they favored you. I told you the result of the poll. 58% Dan, 42% Adam. Okay. It's stupid. Makes me never, ever like take these polls seriously. Montgomery or Foreman rest of season?
Montgomery for sure.
Yeah.
No?
I go Foreman.
Full PPR, who do I start? Chris Olave. By the way, Foreman, have neither of them had their bye?
They both have week 14 bye.
Okay. Yeah.
So does the rest of the league, basically. All right, full PPR, Olave, Rondé Moore, Paris Campbell, or Jacoby Myers? Who are you starting?
Jacoby.
I'm going to go Olave.
If Marquise Brown doesn't play, I'm going Rondé Moore. If we find
we're
out
split on that one,
Marquise is playing, I'll go Olave.
Wow.
I want you to know something. I did not select that comment.
Well, who did?
Zach.
Yeah, Zach. You know what, Zach? We got to talk.
That was Frisco, by the way.
In a red with a football team.
12-team half PPR. One running back, one wide receiver, one flex. Tony, Pittman, Slayton, Swift, Gus.
Tony and Pittman are the easy ones for me. So you got to go, I guess, Gus.
Over Slayton and Swift?
I'm going Slayton.
You can't play Slayton. You got to play running back. So I'm going Tony and Pittman.
Sorry, you're right.
You're going Gus over Swift.
I'll go Swift.
I can play whoever the hell I want.
Swift, the thing about Swift is that he should be the better of the two. Giants have allowed the fewest receptions to running backs. So,
but the most, yards per catch.
Huh?
The most yards per catch.
I don't care if they're only catching.
I just don't believe anything with the Giants defense. I don't believe a thing that they've done.
Do you believe that the Panthers defense is worse than the Giants defense?
No. It's better.
Really?
Well, I mean, the Giants defense without McKinnon is a big deal. McKinney.
Their run defense, though.
Their run defense. Well, no, but this is a Swift question. Like, Swift, that's why I think the yards per catch.
Swift is not running routes outside.
But the yards per catch to running back things is relevant because it doesn't take Swift much to, you know, be good, as we've seen. But that's fine. I'm not gonna argue. Like I'm not gonna make the case for DeAndre Swift. It's not a fun case to make.
It's a hard case to make. Yeah.
Who are you flexing? Michael Pittman, Kadarius Toney, or George Pickens?
Pittman.
Yeah, Pittman's fine. The volume. I trust the volume there more than the other two.
Play it.
Play what? Oh.
What's up, FFT?
That's the wrong thing. That was a Jacob Gibbs sound from 2 years ago, I think. I can't play it. I'm sorry.
What are you playing?
Pittman! Would you trade DK Metcalf for Chris Godwin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fields, Herbert, or Jackson?
For this week, Fields.
All right, that's it.
For sure.
All right, here's the poll update. You ready?
Oh, I have a headache from this crazy show. Go ahead.
You have a headache? You should go get some water from the toilet. 988 votes. Okay. 988 votes. Do you brush your teeth in the kitchen sink all the time? 5% yes. 57% no. 38% only Adam Mazur does it.
Yeah, it really is something I expected only Adam to do.
I don't brush all the time. At night, I sometimes don't brush in the sink. It's in the mornings I brush.
Wait. Does that mean you don't brush at all?
No, it means I'm actually able to go upstairs and brush my teeth in the bathroom.
But what I don't understand is, so you have, I guess, multiple different toothbrush sets.
No, because... I'm lying. It's
always in the sink.
it's the kitchen. Yeah, it's the kitchen. I lied. All right. Oh.
Well, I'll end it on this note to the hater who sent a comment earlier. What you're seeing here, you're mistaking a receding hairline for just a massive forehead. So take that.
All right, man. The band's name is Brush's Teeth in Kitchen Sink. That's a great comment to end the show.
Well, bookmark it. This is the one we're sending for the awards next year.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Thanks, all.
Best male host.
Have a great week.
Best male host who brushes his teeth in the kitchen. Adam Lynn, hands down.
Bye.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.